I disagree with framing research as design validation. It would probably be invalidate and not validate, because to me that term implies that we're just here to give a design our stamp of approval so that it can be shipped risk-free.
Welcome to the 7-Minute Product Master Series podcast. I'm Luis Kangede, and today I'm joined by Courtney, UX researcher at General Motors. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you. Great to be here.
To start this show, give me a brief definition of UX research.
Sure. I think it's learning about how humans interact with a product or service. And in doing that, we use a lot of different research methods to understand who our users are, what context their interactions take place in, what steps they take, what's going well, and what needs improvement. And then we make recommendations for how to turn any problems we identify into an opportunity for the organization. And I think it's a great job because it helps people. And when it's done well, it drastically lowers the risk of organizations building the wrong thing or maybe building the right thing in the wrong way.
And I'm curious to know, what's the biggest UX research mistake you've ever made and what did you learn?
Oof, I made so many, it's hard for me to even know which one is really the biggest. But I would say the worst studies I've done, I think, were the ones where I didn't have crystal clear research questions or research goals way back at the beginning. I would just jump into writing a script. And then at the end of the study, I'd have all this messy data that was really hard to analyze because I wasn't clear what exactly I was looking for. All this is way easier when you start a study by understanding what you'll need at the very end and then work backwards. I will meet with stakeholders and figure out what kind of decisions they need to make. And then I can determine the data they need to make those decisions, then work all the way back to figure out exactly which questions will get that data. Otherwise, I could have topics that don't have any real meaning to the stakeholders. And then at the end, when I'm trying to analyze it, I'm coming up with insights that I know are not valuable for them and trying to figure out how to make this study valuable when it's not. And all that could have been avoided if I had figured out what actually is valuable to them back at the beginning and write a script that addresses that.
Yeah, thanks for that. What's the one piece of common wisdom you disagree with and why?
I would say it's that UX researchers, quote, validate designs. I disagree with framing research as design validation because to me that term implies that we're just here to give a design our stamp of approval so that it can be shipped risk-free. But we're not there to approve things, in my opinion. And although we do reduce risk, we're never going to eliminate it. Really, what we're there for is just to learn. If I test a design, I'm usually looking for what can be improved. And there's plenty of research that doesn't involve any design at all. But in both cases, our focus is to fill in knowledge gaps. It's not just to validate. It's maybe a little bit of semantics because we are evaluating solutions. But if I was going to pick one word of the two, it would probably be invalidate and not validate, just because we're trying to improve things. So if we come at it from the point of what should we put a check mark next to, it seems like we're not looking for problems when really that's what we're doing.
Wow. So thanks for sharing that. What's the best UX research advice you've ever received and why?
The best advice I got was from another researcher who encouraged me to be bold, both in the way I approach stakeholders, but also in how I word recommendations when I deliver research results. And I think this is often hard for people coming into UX from academia because the speed and risk tolerance in industry can make researchers very nervous and tentative, but we have to consciously put that aside. She told me to be confident in your recommendations because people want help navigating ambiguity. They want to make evidence-based decisions. So you don't need to wait for an invite to take a seat at someone else's table. You can set your own table and invite stakeholders to it.
Brilliant. Next question. What's working best in your UX research process right now?
I would say forming solid work relationships with key stakeholders. I wish that it was enough to just produce great insights and then everyone would nod their heads and get to work making these great user-centered improvements. However, the reality is we are one perspective of many, and it takes a lot of negotiation and flexibility to get recommendations designed, encoded, and actually shipped to users. And as a researcher, you will probably not be in the room when key decisions about our products and services get made. So you need allies. And if those allies happen to like you as a human and value your perspective as a researcher and a coworker, it is a whole lot easier to be effective in your work. I intentionally try to befriend the people on my team and the stakeholders stakeholders I work with, just to make it a cordial environment. But two, I think this follows naturally from the kind of work we do, because we are talking to stakeholders, asking them, what do you need? What can I do for you? What decisions do you need to make? And I can help you get that data. And it is effective at building relationships, because our whole work is about showing our value to people and making their work easier.
That's interesting. What's the one thing every UX researcher should learn?
How to speak to different audiences. Depending on the company you work for, you could present to designers, C-suite executives, other researchers, even your own end users about the same topic. And each of those groups may want to hear very different things, or at least different levels of detail. So the art of knowing how to make the same insights interesting and valuable to a variety of people who all have different motivations, responsibilities, and pressures is a great skill for any researcher. I think it comes from a place of empathy and thinking of your stakeholders as users, in a sense, and figuring out what makes sense for their role, what do they value, especially with the level of detail. If you're talking to an executive who probably has 25 meetings in a day and is getting pulled in 1,000 directions, they're not going to care about all the details. They're going to want something very high level, very clear, very short. But designers on your team who are going to have to execute on those recommendations are, of course, going to need a lot more detail about what the user said and, you know, direction for the design. They might want to know everything. Just depends on the person. So you have to figure out some way when working with them to know, what do these people really need from me, and then tailor it accordingly.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. On to the last question. What's the one thing you learned about yourself recently that changed the way you work?
When I start something, I tend to want to finish it completely right then. I don't like leaving things unfinished, especially over the course of several days or even weeks. But a lot of research tasks, say analyzing the results of a large study, is never going to get done in one day. And that stresses me out and even makes me procrastinate, thinking, I'm just going to wait for that magical day when I have a ton of time and I'll do it then. But of course, that day never comes. So to combat this, I've had to mentally reframe what a research task actually is and make it a lot smaller. So instead of telling myself, you have to analyze this whole giant data set, I'll say something like, you need to code one participant's data today, because that's what you have time for. And then I can cross something off the list and feel like I'm making meaningful progress, but also not getting overwhelmed.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Courtney, for joining us today and sharing all those insights with our audience.
Thank you. That was fun.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.